Okay, well, October 7th, 2015, I think I'll be here. But let's get the Chris McCants take on the chapter Matthew 24:36. We'll get into that when we come back, and we'll take your calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. The phones are lining up for you, Chris McCann, of course. But I want to get your take on Matthew 24:36, where he basically says, normally I never read from Scripture on the air, but he says, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father alone. So what's our take on that?
Well, as I was mentioning earlier, George, that was the constant quote from all church authorities.
Well, it's in the Bible.
And of course.
All right.
And yet we cannot read the Bible like our daily newspaper. We have to dig into the Bible because God is hidden truth. And the word know there, as it says in Matthew 24:36, of that day and hour knoweth no man, not the angels. And in Mark 13:32, it adds neither the Son. The word know means has not experienced. Man, at the point that Christ was making that statement, had not yet experienced Judgment Day, which was being expressed by day and hour. That's how we all understand it. Like I'm mentioning the end of the world, Judgment Day, and people say, well, no man knows a day or hour, because they understand day and hour represents Judgment Day. And so no man has experienced Judgment Day at the point of this statement, neither the fallen angels, Satan, and the demons are fallen angels, nor the Son, because Christ had not yet gone to the cross, where he would experience the wrath of God for the sin, in a demonstration for the sins of his people. And so it has nothing to do with intellectual knowledge, just as it was said of Joseph that he knew not Mary until she had brought forth her firstborn son, the Lord Jesus. Now, did it mean that he didn't know who Mary was? He had no idea who Mary was? No, of course he knew. He was engaged to her. But he did not know her in an intimate way until after Christ was born. So we have to be careful with the word know and how it's used in the Bible.
On October 7th, 2015, on or around, what do you expect to happen?
Well, again, we're presenting the biblical evidence, which we're letting people know there's a strong likelihood. We're not saying this in absolute terms, but the Bible describes vividly what will happen on the last day in 2 Peter 3. God says that the world and the whole universe will be burned up. It will melt with a fervent heat. The world is destroyed. The creation, which is tainted by sin, mankind, that never became saved. And then God recreates a new heaven and new earth. And then the focus from that point on is into eternity future.
Okay, now you did say, though, that there's a strong likelihood, so it sounds like you're leaving yourself another out just in case.
Well, there's no need to use exclamation points. Prior to May 21, 2011, when God was still saving, it was necessary that there be a very certain sound that the people of the world hear, because there was time, it was the day of salvation, they could go to the Lord while he may be found. And that statement in Isaiah, while he may be found, implies there will be a time when he will not be found. And that's where we're living at now. So there's just no need to use exclamation points or speak in absolute way.
If the day, though, Chris, comes and goes, what do you say then?
Well, I think you mentioned this earlier, and I said that we'll just continue to study the Bible.
I mean, will you come up with
plan
another
A is study
date?
the Bible. Plan B is study the Bible. Keep looking to the Bible.
I mean, how many more dates, though, can you tell people before they say, oh, come on?
Well, again, a date is basically a doctrine, like marriage and divorce, that, or the Bible's teaching on salvation. Whatever the Bible says is a doctrine. Now, the good thing about a date, if it's incorrect and you go beyond that point, is that you have realization. Oh, I was wrong. Now I can go back to the Bible, try to find out where the mistake was to correct it. But you know, the problem is, and this is where the churches reside, is that they have doctrine, erroneous doctrine, fixed in place for centuries, and nobody budges. And you know it, there's erroneous doctrine because churches teach contrary to one another. And somebody has to be wrong, yet it's established for hundreds of years. And they never get to the point of realization that this doctrine is incorrect and I have to make changes. And so it's not a bad thing at all if you can be shown that you were wrong. And then you just simply, okay, well, let me find out what was off and try to make correction. You can't, or the church, which should be doing that in every area, does not do that.
All right, let's go to the calls. They're lining up here for you, Chris. We'll pick it up by going to Dan in Montrose, New York, on the Wild Card Line to get things started. Daniel, take it away.
For taking my call, George Norrie, and you don't have to worry. October 7th will be here, and so all the other October 7th for the next many millenniums. The gentleman that you're speaking with is a false prophet. But you know what? That's the point is, the Bible has a lot of errors in it, and that's what people don't even talk about. Nobody wants to talk about that. The vein that people started veining at what particular age, such as like 8 years old or 18 years old, the amount of horses, 700 or 7,000, if the scripture's recounting the same story. And not only that, it talks about a lot of books in the Bible that it refers back to certain books that are not even in the scripture. And it mentions also about the end of the world, about they thought in the New Testament, they thought the end was going to be right there. The end is at hand, or things are to pass or draweth nigh. This don't sound like hundreds or even thousands of years. They really believed the end was going to happen in their lifetime. And then there's the accuracy of the Greek, the Textus Receptus, the Stephanus, the Erasmus. Nobody ever wants to talk about that. The Bible has errors in it. A lot of people are misinterpreting a lot of things because they're trying to, we're going down this road again. And I'd like to see a debate on Coast to Coast if you have some other people on the other side. That would be really great.
Well, maybe we'll do that on October 7th of 2015. But, Chris, he said you're a false prophet. You deserve your right to defend yourself. Go ahead.
Well,
if you know, you want.
He said a lot of things when someone says guarantees that we'll be here October 7th for millennium, that sort of proves what I was saying earlier, that deep down, man thinks this world is going to go on forever. And so, of course, if he hears someone speak seriously about the end of the world and referring to the Bible, he's not going to like that. Just the idea that the Bible is has errors the Word of God is the one thing in the world, the only thing in the original Hebrew and Greek, the only thing in this world that is pure and holy without a single error. And God says in Psalm 12 that he has preserved his word and kept it from this evil generation forever. So God assures us that his word, the Bible, in the original languages, is absolutely pure. We don't have to worry a bit about somebody making a claim that the Bible has errors in its original text. It's not even in the realm of possibility.
Next up, we go to Mike in Vancouver, Washington. Thanks for calling, Mike. You're up and on the air with us.
Hey, yes, George. Great show this evening.
Thank you, Michael.
Yeah, I just wanted to go back, if I could, to the Garden of Eden. We were
Sure.
talking about that a little earlier. Adam and Eve, I don't believe were ever intended to live forever physically. And I think that's easy to understand when you consider the Genesis scripture. After Adam and Eve had eaten from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the Lord decided to kick them out of the garden, saying something to the effect, "Lest they eat from the tree of life and live forever." So they were never intended to live forever physically. Otherwise, they would have been welcome to eat from the tree of life. So I think that's the key to understanding that they were never intended to live forever physically. And the serpent was actually telling them the truth. As a matter of fact, everything the serpent said was the truth.
Chris, you want to react to that?
Well, yeah, there. When God created man, he created man good. And there was no death of any kind in the world, in man or in the animals. And if Adam and Eve would have continued in obedience, and God only gave one law, just one law, you shall not eat of the fruit of that one particular tree. Now, how many trees were in the Garden of Eden? How many trees on the earth? You know, multitudes of wonderful, beautiful trees. But as soon as God gives the law, and Satan took advantage of the law by deceiving Eve and speaking to her, because Satan wanted to be like God, and he made the claim to Eve that if you eat of the tree, God does know you'll be like him. And that's how man has been ever since. We, in our pride, we want to be like God. We want to be the determiner of our own path and so forth. And so that was the fall of man into sin and the point of death in our soul existence. And that's why the Bible speaks of being born again, because man is dead in sin from that point on. And there is a need of a resurrection of the soul, and that's what happens when an individual becomes born again. And by the way, that's an invisible thing too. Nobody can see the soul of another, and when someone becomes born again, they look no different than when they had a dead soul, because it's the invisible part of them. And so salvation is the first resurrection of the soul. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was really a figure of Christ, and God placed cherubim to guard the way of that tree, because with a flaming sword, that pictured that man must go through the wrath of God in order to reach the tree of life. And we do that in the person of Christ, as he suffered and died and experience the wrath of God in the place of those that he saved.
Robert's with us now, Long Island, New York. Welcome to the program. Robert, you're on the air with us.
Good morning, Mr. Norrie.
Morning.
Good morning, Mr. McCann. I
Good
had
morning.
called before, Mr. Norrie, about a week and a half ago. I received another date. I received a date of 4/11/2020, which is a very informative date. Please understand, 4/11/2020, our eyes will be opened. We will get information. We will be given further information, and the final judgment will be 9/11/2020. As 9/11/2001 was a warning for the battle of good and evil, 9/11/2020 will be it.
Okay.
Get off the rock. You ruined the rock. You ruined my earth. I cannot take it anymore. You left Mars. You went to the earth, and you ruined the earth also. Thank you for taking my call. I am so sorry if I offend anyone on this planet. Amen.
5 years away from that. I guess anybody can guess prophecy. Cornelius in Louisiana. Hello, Cornelius.
Hey, George, and hey, Chris. God bless y'all, and Mr. Dave. Chris, I'm sorry you misleading these people. George knows I believe in Bible prophecy and stuff, but giving these dates and stuff like that, giving these people falseness, all it's going to do is turn people against Christianity and stuff. And George, you're right. Nobody knows the day or the hour, and I hope you have the four blood moon prophecy people on and stuff, because we're getting ready to the end. I mean, he's right about that. I think we're going to have a nuclear war within the next 2 or 3 years.
We might.
But I'm glad you're preparing us, George, by My Patriot Supply and stuff like that. But, Chris, you need to stop with these dates. Harold Campy went to his grave line, and you can't have these date setters. They're going to make people too upset. So God bless you, George, and Chris. Y'all have a nice night.
Oh, there you go, Chris.
Well, you know, again, a date is a doctrine, and the Bible is given for doctrine. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, it says in 2 Timothy 3:16. And we are privileged to be able to check anything out in the Bible. That's what's so harmful about the church doctrine. It's not the Bible's doctrine, but the church doctrine that we're not to investigate, we're not to look into the things concerning the end. It's remarkable when we consider how much Christ has said about the end of the world, and what for? Why did he tell us all this information in Matthew 24 or these many other chapters when we can't know anything? Well, you know, it really makes no sense. And when he would make these statements concerning the end of the world, a constant statement was, watch, therefore. But the way the church today would have us to watch, it reminds me of F Troop, when they would put the lookout up in the tower who is blind. And that's the idea the church has. Yes, get up there and watch. As Christ said, watch for the signs of his coming. But just remember, you can't ever notice anything. You can't ever see anything. And if you do see something, make sure you do not blow the trumpet. It's ridiculous.
We may not have time for a call now, but we will when we come back after the break. Chris, and very quickly, tell us a little bit about eBible Fellowship. What is that?
Well, George, eBible Fellowship is a ministry of individuals that have banded together to share God's Word, primarily through the electronic medium. E stands for electronic. And we're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on YouTube. There's a YouTube channel. And anyone typing in eBible Fellowship can find our pages. Or go to the website, and we just desire to share the Bible. We don't direct people to church, as you can probably gather, since we believe also the church age is over, but we direct people to the Bible, and only to the Bible.
All right, stick with us. We're going to come back and take some final phone calls with Chris McCann as we talk about this ominous date, October 7th, 2015. And, you know, most of the people who've called in do not believe that anything's going to happen on that date. What about you? We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, Mark Anthony joins us as we talk about communicating with the other side. And then, of course, Mark Adams joins us talking about Atlantis. Looking forward to that. We're going to come back in a moment with Chris McCann and take final phone calls. Okay, welcome back. We're with Chris McCann, of course. We're talking about this date, October 7, 2015, and we will take your calls. Most civilizations, Chris, all thought that they were in end times. All of them, just about.
Well, perhaps, but the Bible does speak of an end of the world and give certain indicators that were never in place hundreds of years ago. Again, Israel being a nation in 1948 is one of the signposts that the Bible gives, the increased wickedness of the world. I mean, those of us who are, you know, getting a little older, we can look back 40, 50 years, and the world of today is, there's just no comparison to how it was just a few decades ago. I mean, just look at homosexual marriage. Now, homosexuality, according to the Bible, is a sin like anything else is a sin. That God says is a sin, You know, God gives the law, the Ten Commandments, and so there is numerous sins, and one of the sins the Bible speaks of is homosexuality.
All right, Chris, that's one topic we don't talk about on the show, okay?
Oh, okay.
All right, it's just something I never got into. It's something we just don't do. Your views are your views, and so be it with that. But let's
all
take
right,
some
George,
calls.
No problem.
Yeah, it's just not the show. Let's go to Vancouver, British Columbia, in Canada. Zoe on the international line. Zoe, go ahead.
Hi, George.
Hi.
Hi, Chris. I have 2 points, but I'd just like to preface with a little quote from the second letter of Peter in the Bible, the Catholic Bible. It says here, St. Peter says, in these epistles, there are certain things difficult to understand, which the unlearned and the unstable distort, just as they do the rest of the scriptures also to their own destruction. So he sort of warned about trying to do it, the exegesis, meaning the correct explanation of scripture, is left to the church. So my main point here is, and I'll take my answer off the air, is Matthew, I'll just use him, the synoptic gospels are all the same. This is chapter 24, verse 29. It says, but, pardon me, immediately after the tribulation of those days, meaning the end of the world, sun will be darkened and the moon will not give her light and the stars will fall from heaven and the powers of heaven will be shaken. And then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then will all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming upon the clouds of heaven with great power and majesty. The angels send forth his angels. So everybody's going to see it. I mean, it's going to be unmistakable. It's not an interior hidden thing. My second point is that there's absolutely not a scrap of evidence for some interior slamming of the doors of heaven shut. The unfortunate thing is that Protestants and people who just concentrate on the Bible don't realize not everything's in the Bible. And for the first 350 years, there was no New Testament at all. And that's when Christianity had its greatest triumph over the Roman Empire. And Martin Luther was right when he said, I think it was 1,500 years later after Christ, he said, without the papists, we would have no Bible. And that's true. And the first book that was printed on the printing press by Gutenberg was, he was a Catholic, and it was a Catholic Bible. So everybody would have had it after then. But the point is, the church has never, ever taught that this is the end of the world, or it's not in Catholic dogma. So, you know, we just live our lives, we trust in God, and certainly he doesn't slam the door of heaven shut to anyone. He's open to everybody. While there's life, there's hope. That's how I'd like to end it.
Chris, what do you think of that? Thanks for the call, Zoe.
Well, she made several points that, I would normally like to address, but I know time's short. And I think that basically she's trusting in the church and not the Bible. You know, God has laid down a methodology for coming to truth in the Bible, and it's through comparing Scripture with Scripture, and then it says the Holy Ghost teaches. And the authority at that point is the Bible itself, where God defines his own terms, and he develops his own doctrine. But what the church has done is placed itself, and the caller was actually presenting a good example of this, the Catholic Church or even the Protestant Church has placed itself over the Bible. We're the determiners of truth. We'll tell you what the right doctrine is. And that's why there's so many errors that they are not correcting. They're fixed in place. And if the Pope said it or the bishop said it or the minister said it, it's got to be true. Well, no, I'm sorry. It's not the case. There's all kinds of people that are very nice people, and they're in places of authority within various churches but they're not teaching the truth at all.
I'm marking down this date, Chris, October 7.
All right, George.
Let's go next to Cassie in Redding, California. Hi, Cassie. Thanks for holding. You're up. Cassie? Going once, going twice. Poor Cassie. She was on hold for 40 minutes, and she put her phone down and got it. Oh, well. Terry's in New Jersey, though. Terry, I bet you're with us. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you, George. Sure. I am here, and we all will be here on that date, I will tell you. You know, he talks about indicators, but here are a few great indicators that have not yet happened. For instance, we are supposed to have a one-world government, and we're not even close to that now. Of course, there is globalization. So there is a movement towards this one world government, but it's not here yet, and it's going to take a while. Second, there's going to be a false prophet and an antichrist who reigns over that one world government, and they're not even on the scene yet. Plus, there will be the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem and the mark of the beast. None of that is here yet. And when that comes, the antichrist is going to reign for 7 years. So we have at least 7 years left. I'd also like to make another point. He talks about the ending of salvation program, that the church age is over, that the doors of heaven are shut. This is absolutely ludicrous. Until the Lord Jesus Christ, everybody has a chance to repent. We are still in the dispensation of grace. Those who hear the gospel and repent of their sins and return to Jesus and follow him, they are all cleansed by the blood of Jesus. God looks at them as pure and holy. Even though they have been sinned, they are not saved and pure and holy on their own good works, but by their faith in Jesus, that blood cleanses them. The blood is appropriated onto their lives, and when God looks at them, he doesn't see their sin anymore. Why? Because when Jesus came, he hung on that cross and took the wrath of God in his body for us who believe. Therefore, we are freed from the wrath of God. So for your guest to say that God is judging the churches and that we should get out of the church is absolutely ludicrous. Harold Camping and your guest are interpreting the scriptures with a certain method that I can't remember the name of it, that totally skews the truth. It causes fear in people. I've even heard Harold Camping say to a woman who was so upset that she aborted her child, Harold Camping said that unless your child in the womb heard the message of salvation and repented, is lost forever in hell. This is the type of teaching that we do not need. This is not truth. His method of interpretation is wrong. And I want to make one more thing.
All right, go ahead, Terry.
All the cults in this world have been started by this great revelation of one man, that all people should turn from the truth and follow the interpretation of one man. I don't doubt for 1 minute that Harold Camping was sincere, that he loved Jesus, but he should not have taught. He was not a teacher of anybody because he could not interpret the scriptures properly. And it's very sad. And I just hope that people who are listening, who have listened to Harold Camping and who have listened to this man, will really hear what the Spirit has to say. The Word of God is truth, but this man is skewing it. And I will pray for him. I'm really, really upset. So I hope your listeners will really see what's truth and see what's error.
Well, we're getting a lot of people who are upset, too. Chris, she's not alone.
Well, you know, concerning salvation, and some people may think that, well, how can salvation be over when I can accept Christ at any time and get saved? And the problem is that, again, I'm sorry to keep referring to the church, but they have so many incorrect teachings. The church teaches that salvation is in the hands of man, that you can make a decision for Christ, you can accept him and get yourself saved today. And so the idea that God has ended salvation makes no sense to them, because they don't understand that man could never at any point in history get himself saved. The Bible says that God will have mercy upon whom he will have mercy. And he is the determiner, he's sovereign over those that he would save. And now he is letting it be known through his word that he is sovereign also concerning when he saves, and that there was a day of salvation, and that day of salvation came to a close, and now we're living in the time afterwards, and it actually is fitting in a sense, because the doctrine has impinged the sovereignty of God, the free will doctrine, where man has become the determiner of their own salvation. And so, in a sense, God, in bringing this judgment, is letting it be known, no, you can never get yourself saved. Salvation has always been under my control. Now, I'm sorry that she's upset or anybody's upset. You know, it's not my intention to upset anyone. My intention only is to share what the Bible says. And it is upsetting when we finally hear what the Bible does say, because you can't find truth in any church in the world today. No matter what denomination or particular church you go to, you're not going to hear the true word of God. And yet your pastor is a nice guy and you have a good fellowship there. And so, yes, hearing the church age is over and it's not a place of truth can be upsetting, but I don't know what to do about that, because...
Will your ministry take out ads again this year and billboards?
Well, we have been advertising on Facebook, and we're looking into some other limited advertisements.
What do you say? You know, judgment is near, or...
Well, same thing I've mentioned here, a strong likelihood
about
that
this
October
day.
7th would be the end, this or spiritual judgment began on May 21, 2011, something like
now,
that.
Now, what preparations are you doing this time, Chris? Last time you emptied out your 401, what are you going to do now?
Well, I don't have a 401 to empty out.
That's gone.
Yeah, so there's nothing... I'm just living day by day, as really any of us can do. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And, you know, AA took that slogan and said one day at a time, or they took that from the Bible. And that's all we have is today. And today I want to serve the Lord and by God's grace offer up myself as he tells us to do, as a living sacrifice. That's what we should be doing with our lives, is seeking to serve him as much as possible.
Do you want to be wrong about this October 7th date?
Well, George, you know, I have children, and I have family, I have friends, and yes, on one hand, you know, my heart breaks, and I'm very sorrowful for anyone who may not have been saved, but I still hope that perhaps God did save this individual, because I don't know what's going on in someone's heart before he shut the door of heaven. So on one hand, I am very sad over the prospect. On the other hand, as you mentioned before, you know, in speaking of the new heaven and new earth, I got kind of excited, and that's the dual nature of the child of God. We do have a desire to depart, to be in that glorious new heaven and new earth where there's nothing but perfection.
Well, we've got 7 months to go, Chris, so we shall see. Thank you so much for being on the program again. For Nathan Staten, Dan Galante, David Hines, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Timothy Banal, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.